Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the Question Reality Radio Show. I'm Priscilla Leona, producer and host of this show, and we are coming to you live. At least I think I'm still living from Los Angeles, California. For 13 years, we have been on the air, and we have been providing our audience with entertainment industry career advice. Now, this show is for you if you are questioning your career reality about pursuing a career in show business, or if you're already working in the entertainment industry and you just need a couple tips, a little advice, or maybe some resource information from our guests on how to elevate your career status. You want to move on up to the East Side, according to the Jeffersons. Who wouldn't want to live on the East Side up in New York? Actually, there are a lot of people, but I would. Now, guests on our show include, we have Emmy Award winners, we have Grammy Award winners, we have Tony Award winners, we have reality TV stars, and just a wide variety of working show business professionals, and that includes film, television, music, and radio producers, and we have directors and casting directors and literary agents and casting agents and PR agents and talent managers and screenwriters and publicists. Of course, we have actors, comedians, singers, novelists. I love bringing on behind-the-scenes people. I really love that, like script supervisors, stunt people. So if you know anyone that's working behind the scenes, we are currently booking for the new year. So I would love to get more people. So please, I know they work so hard, like 16, 17 hours a day, but it's on a Sunday, our show is. So hopefully, you know, we can get someone to work on a Sunday. So anyone, script supervisors, production assistants, crew, anyone that's, I really want to focus on that next year. So help me out, guys. Help me out. Celebrity makeup artists we have on. We have entertainment lawyers. And the list just continues. So basically, we have everyone. And if you missed any of our shows, here are three ways that you can listen to any of them. Number one, you can listen from the free mobile apps, which you can get obviously from the App Store, the Google Play Store. Number two, we have all of our shows on iHeartRadio. We're on iTunes. We're on Amazon Podcasts. We're on Google, Audible.com, Stitcher.com. Basically, if you Google my name, Priscilla Leona, or LA Talk Radio, or Question Reality Radio Show, you're going to find us. We're right at the top spots on Google. Google loves us. Also, you can listen to any of our shows from the whole 13 years on our archive page. You would listen directly from the website that you're listening to us on right now, which is latalkradio.com. So you're just looking for the show title, Question Reality, or my name, Priscilla Leona, and there you are, 13 years of fun, excitement, entertainment. I'm telling you, we've had such fantastic stars on our show. Oh, some of my favorites, Paul Guilfoyle, you know, he's on CSI Las Vegas. I told him that show is coming back. A long time ago, I'm like, you're coming back. They're going to bring it back. I don't know, like 5 years ago. I don't think he believed me, but I told him I was psychic, and he's back on CSI Las Vegas. And so anyway, do us a favor, help us out. We kindly ask that you give us a little thumb on our social media pages, Facebook. Now, one of the things I talk about that's very important, if you're in the entertainment industry, please listen to this. I say this practically every week, but a lot of people still don't listen, or they weren't told. It is so, so, so important that you brand yourself, okay? Not physically. Branding is important. So, for example, when you are starting out in the business, you want to make sure that when people go to Google to find you, they can find you. So that would be best done under your name, which, if example, you go Google Priscilla Leona, you're going to find me everywhere, everywhere. But I don't, or the name of a product, you know, like Jordache. Oh God, Jordache, that's dating me. I went out in the 80s. I'm thinking about Jordache jeans. I don't know why. But for example, make sure it's one name, either your name, or try to keep your film at 1, 2, 3. You know, the most popular films in the world, right? The ones that are most Oscar winners. And we don't know why this is. Research just shows that most Oscar winning movies have one name, two names. Three is pushing it, but there have been some 3 and 4, like Gone with the Wind 4, but very, very rare. So with branding, please make sure that you try to either keep it at your name, as I'm talking about like actors and singers and screenwriters, or the title of your movie, keep it consistent. And that's across your social media page. You can't have cute things like, you know, Debbie does Dallas. Okay. Yes, she's known for doing Dallas, right? But you can't have her Deborah Lindquist / Wiedelmeyer. No one's going to know who she is. So the point is, keep it consistent so that when people Google you, you're very easily found, and you can build your digital footprint, which is what I'm trying to ask you to do right now, which is go to Google, type in my name, Priscilla Leona, and give me a little thumb. Facebook, Priscilla Leona, Instagram, Priscilla Leona, Twitter, Priscilla Leona, etc., etc. If you have a movie and you're going to have future movies or future television projects or future books, if you associate your name with that product and you're on to another product, they may not know you. So it is best, if you can, to make sure that it is your name. So that is the tip of the day, and that's what all the experts will also tell you. So again, Priscilla Leona, give me a thumb on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and TikTok and Snapchat. I'm on everything. So please make sure you do that for me. If you feel like it, no pressure. But after you hear my guest, you're going to go, oh, I have to give Priscilla Leona and her guest Harley Wallin a little thumb today. Oh, he's fantastic. He's such a handsome man. We're going to get to him in a second. Finally, if you want to be booked on our show, again, we are booking for the new year, the new season, which is January, February, March. So if you want to refer someone or come on the show yourself to promote anything, showcase your projects, your products, or just help listeners by providing sage career advice, go to our official website. Now, you got to listen closely. Zoom in, tune in. Our official website is questionrealityradioshow.com. Questionrealityradioshow.com. Not the website that you're listening to us on now, which is obviously latalkradio.com. This is the website where we air the show. So again, go to questionrealityradioshow.com. This is also where you can see the annual guest schedule to see who all the guests are that are coming up, to see if there is a particular career field that you would like to listen to get more information. And let's see, again, submitting is very easy. Just go to the contact link, very short, name, email, title, website, boom, you are on your way to being on this radio show where the excitement happens. At least I'm excited. I don't know. I can entertain myself 24 hours a day, and I don't even do drugs. I don't do alcohol. I don't do smoke. I don't do anything. It's just on a natural high of life. Woo! Now, one thing I do like that will get me higher than anything is looking at a good-looking man. Speaking of, everybody knows my obsession with Harry Styles. finally got to go to his concert on Friday night. It was a bucket list item, and I'm telling you, I felt like I was going to pass out. It was euphoric. It was surreal. My God, this man. Woo! Lord, I liked him at 16, but now he's just really sensational. And I just highly recommend you just Google him if you don't know who Harry Styles is, but had a fantastic time. Just had a birthday. I got so many texts and emails from everyone wishing me a happy birthday, over like almost 2,000. I was like, what? So thank you, everyone. Had a fantastic party. 1970s Disco Inferno dance off party was lovely. Had the best time. Okay, well, we are on to so many great things before the end of the year. Things are coming back. We're feeling great. We're getting guests that are actually excited about starting new projects and having new projects happen that they're proud of. And today we have a guest. Oh, so lucky to have him on the show. When I got a call from the lovely Joe Williamson from the Williamson Talent Management Company, and he asked if he could book his client on the show. And when I took a look at him, I said, wow, this man is spectacular. You know, I love a good-looking man. Now, everybody knows that my weakness is a good-looking man. I'm like, woo! But I thought immediately he was an actor from one of my favorite foreign shows, The Brokenwood Mysteries. And I found out he wasn't, but that's okay. His name is, now let me just tell you just a little bit. His name, oh, he's got a fantastic name, Harley Whalen. I hope it, or Wallen. He's going to correct me if I'm wrong, but I read it as Wallen, but we'll see. He is a multi-award-winning director, producer, screenwriter, and actor from Sweden. Now, everybody who's been with me for 13 years know that I did my DNA history, and I've got the Viking blood. You know, I've got the Viking blood, so who knows? It says Sweden, Denmark, from there, who knows? But I got the Viking blood running through me. So this is like my brother coming on, my brother from another mother coming on here today. He's so impressive. Harley has starred in over 40 feature films and TV shows with legendary stars such as Tom Sizemore. I love Tom Sizemore. Tara Reid, John Savage. Oh my God, my mother. You know how I feel about Harry Styles. My mother felt that way about John Savage, who Harley starred on the show with. And Harley Whalen has been interviewed and featured in various entertainment industry magazines that include Deadline Hollywood, Variety, Daily Mail, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The list just goes on and on. Now, some of his films include Beneath Us All, Ash and Bone, Eternal Code, Betrayed, Abeyance, Bennett's Song, which is a Bennett's Song holiday. Now, I think that might be a Christmas movie, and it is. I'm going to lose my mind because you know how I am about Christmas movies. Christmas isn't even here. I'm already up to 119 Christmas films. I swear there's something wrong with me. Me and Christmas movies are just an obsession. Can't stop. I need a pill for this. He was in Abstruse, Agrimon's Gate, Moving Parts, Enigma. Just on, again, go to imdb.com and type in Harley Whalen, H-A-R-L-E-Y-W-A-L-L-E-N, and you will see a list of his credits a mile long. But exciting, because recently Tubi just picked up season one of Harley's new series called Tale of Tales. And I'm telling you, talk about the way things are written in titles. I am going to ask him if he came up with this. This is so creative. It's Tale, T-A-L-E, of Tales, T-A-I-L-S. Isn't that brilliant? I mean, I love that. Now, if you want to know more about Harley Whalen, and I want you to give him a little thumb as well, go to his social media sites. He's on Facebook as Harley Whalen, H-A-R-L-E-Y-W-A-L-L-E-N. He's on Instagram at, Oh, he's broken my branding code. Instagram at the Harley Wallen, Twitter at Harley the Swede. Now, well, I got to reprimand him when he gets on here, but you'll find him. Just type him in Google. I'm sure you'll find him. Also, very important, you got to check out his official trailer, Tale of Tales, which is on YouTube. So Tale, T-A-L-E of Tales, T-A-I-L-S, or just type his name. And I watched it. It's fantastic. You got to see it. Love it, love it, love it. So without further ado, let's get that hot, sexy-licious guy on talking. Welcome to the show, Harley Wallen.
Hi, Priscilla. Thank you so much for having me. I was almost going to come on as the Swedish chef after that introduction. I felt the hershey. But either that or Inga from Sweden. I felt either of those pulling at me a little bit. But such a pleasure to be on.
You are, thank you. We have a mutual friend who I adore, Vida Ghaffari from the Mindy Project.
Vida is so amazing. She's such a good human. Love her to death.
I love her. She invited me to this fundraiser a couple years ago, and I ended up meeting who I'm friends with now, and he's been on my show several times, John Blythe Barrymore. You know, the son. He's from the he's a scion of the Barrymores. And he has come on my show several times. I love him. I ended up having him come on and doing the scene of his grandfather. Was it Lionel Barron? And I had a celebrity impersonator come on and do James Stewart's role. But yeah, I met him, and I met oh my gosh, all these 70 stars who I ended up having on my show. But Joe Williamson, I'm not sure if I met Joe through Vida or I met Vida through Joe, one of them. But how do you like having Joe Williamson as a talent? Isn't he lovely?
He's amazing. I mean, in all honesty, from the very first time I met Joe, I just knew he was a different guy. He just operates with honesty, integrity, and is just genuinely a good guy who always looks out for you. I don't think you could ask for anything but that in this industry, especially.
Yes, because you know, they're out for the quick buck and they will stab you in the back as soon as look at you. Agent, talent manager, not all, but a lot. But if anyone's looking for a great manager, check out Joe Williamson at the Williamson Management Company, because he's fantastic. I don't attach my name to anyone unless I genuinely, sincerely like a person. And this guy's fantastic.
Yes.
So congratulations on your TV series, Tale of Tales, which was picked up by
Thank you.
Now we're going to go, Harley, we're going to go into the show description, who stars in it, and all those fun details. But a lot of people were asking me, believe it or not, they said, what's Tubi? Who's Tubi? I've heard of it, but I'm not sure. So can you please tell the audience who may not have heard of Tubi who they are, and how does one get their film or TV project accepted and aired on Tubi?
Yeah, no, it's funny because I don't feel bad if you don't know. When we found out originally that Homestead, our sales agent, has landed us a Tubi exclusive, I said, Tubi who? I was the same way. I didn't know. They were really excited, so I knew it was good. So the first thing I did was I hopped on, I downloaded the app. I figured out that it's a streaming service. And it's really, really, really good. And I didn't know this. And I'm a little bit ashamed to be in the film industry and not be aware. But they got bought out by Fox about a year ago, and they've grown exponentially since. And it's just become a juggernaut in a very short period of time. And I believe they're close to like 100 million regular monthly viewers now. It's just absolutely insane how fast they've grown over the last couple of years. And it's free. So that's an extra plus.
Yeah, so it's
for all the people that have
Yeah, so they can go on at the App Store, Harley, and they can download the Tubi app, and they can watch any of the shows for free.
Yeah, that's incredible. And it's kind of interesting because they went back to the olden days, and they put in every 20 minutes, you have a minute of commercials, and then it goes right back to watching the show again, but it keeps your cost at zero. And if you're like me, you have the probably 7-8 subscriptions already every month. So to find a free one that has incredible content was awesome for me.
I know. I swear to God, I think we're up to like almost $500 with all of these, you know, Paramount Plus, Disney Plus, Acorn, Brit. It is insanity. Oh. Plus, you got to pay for your basic cable, and it's out of control. It is out of control. So when you hear like Tubi, you can watch mm-hmm. some great shows. I'm so glad that you're introducing us. And for those who don't know how to spell that, it's Tubi. So just go to the App Store, Google Play, download it. And when you do, I want your first show to be Tale of Tales, right?
Right.
We want that to be first thing.
I would love that. I would absolutely love that.
Yes.
It's a good introduction, I think.
Well, I think so. And I read, I'm going to let you, because you're the best one to describe what it's about, but I love the title. Can you please tell us what this show is about? Now, here's what I read for the first season when I went to Tubi. Mm-hmm. It says, after a body is found in a gentleman's club bathroom, the owner is investigated mm-hmm. by a vigilant cop who threatens to destroy everything. I was like, I'm hooked. It sounds like one of my foreign criminal drama shows. So tell us what the show is about, who wrote it, who your cat, because I believe you're starring in it too, and your wife. So who your characters, so give us everything.
So the funny thing is, me and my wife are actually completely opposing in this TV series for the first ever. She actually plays the relentless cop that's pursuing my character and his strip club. My character is Nick, and he is probably a wannabe Sopranos guy, and he's the kind of guy you kind of love to hate, even though we've had a lot more people like him than I thought would like him, because he's a pretty self-absorbed prick, if I can say so. But he really, I don't think he necessarily means to be all that bad. I think he's just pretty selfish, which, you know, I think we can all relate to at times when we put ourselves ahead of others. But that's essentially what he does. So this girl that ends up in the club disappears. And that's where the mystery and drama comes in. Because they start, you know, with today's technology, they start tracing the girl's cell phone and her whereabouts, which immediately ties her to the club. And it unravels throughout those 8 episodes of season 1 pretty intensely. But it's a really fun project. I was brought on board to play Nick first, and Tevis Markham and Steve Coppera have been kind of bubbling with this idea for a while. The story when I came on board was all centered around Nick, and I said, I think to put an entire project on the back of an indie actor, I think is a bit risky. I said, let's get a few different main characters. You know, I think Shameless instead of thinking, a show that's led by one guy. It's not Breaking Bad. It's something else. And I saw that with the Ozarks as well, being very successful with essentially multiple main characters. So we kind of rewrote it really fast. And they loved my ideas and everything. So when we finally did this whole show, it now looks very, very different than what it did at first. But it sits around that strip club, and it is really interesting, because the original writer, Tevis Markham, has worked pretty extensively in strip clubs, and a lot of the things that happen are true stories. So it's intriguing, probably for anyone who's not spent any kind of quality time in a strip club like me, who gets to hear these crazy stories, and you really can't even believe that it's happening, but it is.
Now, your wife, the description is a vigilant cop. Are you talking vigilante cop, or is she just vigilant and she's going to get her man?
So the girl that's missing is her sister. And that's what creates
the
whole thing.
Is
so
that the body that's discovered?
The
her
body
sister?
Is the sister. Yes, indeed. So obviously it's going to be very hard for her to stay objective. So there is not vigilante, but she's a bit of a loose cannon without a doubt. I felt between me and Steve when we wrote her character, it was an awful lot like the sister in the Dexter series, that she's really a good cop, but she's pulled and drawn by this event and missing your sister and you know, going between hoping that, you know, you find her to knowing she's probably dead, to not giving up, to wanting to give up, and all that you go through is really powerful in the series to see through her eyes and that side of things, and then looking at the at Nick's side of things to figure out how to try to get out of this mess, which is kind of Nick's specialty. So he's been in trouble his whole life.
Is this one of these, I assume you can call it maybe crime drama maybe? And if not, correct me on that. But is it one of these crime dramas where at the end of each season, it's a story that goes, and then at the end of the season, it resolves? Or does the end show have a teaser trailer for the next season?
It ends with a pretty hot, multiple pretty big cliffhangers, but we solve a ton of problems also. So I think towards the later episodes, you start setting up season two. And as you're working through the different things of season one, I think that it's similar to, like I said, the Ozark was definitely something that we used as inspiration for this, where you keep getting closer and closer and you keep finding more and more out. But the more you get in, the deeper you are, the more it's attached, which means it's almost like you're in quicksand. And that's, I feel like that about our show as well, that it has that element. So you do get your payoffs, but usually you end up with a payoff, and then that provides a new question. So it keeps being reintroduced as you pick away at the plot itself.
Oh, I love those. Woo! I love how they continue from season to season, but then I also like the shows that they continue, and then at the end of the season, boom, they're done, and then all new characters come in the next season. So are there going to be continuing characters? Obviously you and the vigilante cop, which, by the way, we got to say her name. What is your wife's name? What's her character?
Oh, her name is Katie Wallen, and she plays Allison on the show. So that's her. She plays a cop who is just about to get her first promotion. And because of the conflict of interest, she does not get to lead on her sister's story. So she ends up being kind of in the background following, you know, the other detectives, yet behind the scenes, doing almost all of the work to try to get this case solved.
So great
character.
It sounds like it is a very exciting project. And you have how many episodes for season one? How many did you say?
For season one, we did 8 episodes.
Okay, 8
We've
episodes.
Already been yelled at saying that we needed, because we went with a roughly 20 minutes because we saw, you know, the Karate Kid, the Cobra Kai series.
Cobra Kai!
We saw Schitt's Creek. we saw all of these shows doing that 20, 25 minutes. So I thought, I said, I think this is a good format for a show. I think you don't want to get too full. Like some of the shows you watch, and when you're done with an episode, you're like, okay, I'm going to let that sit. And then I'll watch another one, you know, next time I have the time available. And I like the ones that, you know, like Ted Lasso, where you, it's a half hour show. So you can just take 2 bites, take 3 bites, take 4 bites, depending on the night, where you control how into it you are and how much time you have to give. But you always feel like you never get too much if you keep the episodes a little shorter. So I enjoyed that when we made this.
I get a lot of questions from people saying, should I shoot all my episodes and then put them all up at once, or should I shoot per? And I would think a lot of it has to do, obviously, with your financial situation. But if you had unlimited funds or an investor or something like that, and you weren't picked up by Tubi, say, for example, you want to put all of your stuff on YouTube. Would you suggest having them all done at once? I that's the way I would go. But then I don't know. What's the best way, do you feel?
I think that is the best way, because the people that want to break it up into pieces, they can still choose to do that. And the people that want to binge and knock it out in a night or two, they can do that. So I think it caters to anyone doing it their way. I think the people that can get away with doing weekly episodes still are these big shows that you almost have to appointment watch, but those are so far and few in between. I think you take the risk of losing your audience, because there's so many things right now that you can watch. You know, we just talked about how many different subscriptions we all have. So there's a lot of things competing for our attention. So I think it's a little pretentious to do the weekly thing, knowing that there's an audience with, you know, ADHD out there trying to find something to watch. I think you give it to them and let them decide how they consume it. It's not my job to say, well, today this is a 7-course meal. Well, what if they don't want to eat? What if they just wanted to eat appetizer today and have a couple of drinks? Maybe that was all they wanted.
All right. Now, let's just talk Tubi, for example. Okay. What was the process of, I don't know if you were an active role member in this, but what was your process of getting distribution as far as what they said? So they said, okay, in order for you to get your show aired on our channel, you have to do this. Like, what can you remember were some of the rules? And were they fairly easy, or, you know, just kind of as a tip for somebody who's looking to get their shows aired?
For me, it worked kind of, you know, in order of sequence. So we believed enough in the series to go out and get backing from private investors. That's still how we shoot our films and this TV series. So we made the whole thing, and then we went to the festival markets. And we had really, really good success, which was cool, because a lot of people were telling me, you know, it's a strip club show setting, may not be, you know, so good for festivals. And we did really, really well. But that was the route we went. And then after we did that, we went and we shopped it with a few different sales agencies. We ended up with Homestead Entertainment, who has a really good working relationship with Tubi, which I found out afterwards. They do with IMDb TV and Amazon and other things as well. But when we went with them, we found out that they had a really good relationship with Tubi. So for us, it's all metadata and deliverables. So all I have to do is I have to submit all of my information to my sales agent, so they get everything that the distributors and what the sales agents need from us. And then they go out and do the shopping. And then they came back to us, and we had, you know, an open door from multiple TV stations. We had bids from, I believe we had Hulu, Redbox, IMDb TV, Vudu. But Tubi was a little bit more intrigued, and they were just in the process of starting their first few originals. So they gave us an exclusive initially to be on there, and that's about to be over. So now the door opens to all those other ones that were interested in us before. But as far as the deliverable specifically for Tubi, I couldn't tell you, because the way we do it is we do it all for the sales agents, and they give us pretty much what Netflix would require or HBO would require is what they'll require from us. So that way they can do it no matter how, which one they get a deal with.
So you'll have Tubi on. So was there a contract where Tubi said, okay, we'll let you air, I don't know, 8 episodes or 12 episodes. And then after that, was it like you have to achieve a certain goal in order for us to renew you, or, you know, like, what is their agenda?
So how it works is we said we would grant an exclusive, I believe it was for 90 days. And essentially what we wanted to see was if the show does incredibly well, they could pick us up and make us an original and take us in as their show, and that's what's coming up now here with our 90 days about to end. So we don't know fully what's going to happen at this point, but we have now the bids from everybody else as well as Tubi. So now it's kind of all hands on deck again, and we'll see what happens with the show.
That's crazy, because not like they lock you in. You are free to try to get it on Amazon Prime and Hulu and Netflix and IMDb too.
Yep.
So none of these airing streaming stations, they lock you in. They'll just say, so it works like they'll just say, well, you have a certain amount of days and you have to get a certain amount of views, I would imagine. That's how it works, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And so, because I notice a lot of my films, they go on Amazon Prime, and I don't deal with this particular, but a lot of films that, because I'm a producer and executive producer and co-producer on lots of independent films, and we'll go on Amazon Prime, and then we'll be on there for a certain amount of time. And then all of a sudden we're, you know, on Netflix or Roku. And I'm like, where the heck did we go? Because I love when I'm watching a show on Amazon Prime and my scene is on, because sometimes, you know, I'm in a scene. God knows I have no interest in being an actress, but you know how you got to pull double duty when you're on independent films.
Oh,
and if
an
actor doesn't show up, that's it. You're the actor for the day. So I love when you are on a scene and you know how you have that bar down at the bottom and it's got the actor's name and, I love that. You know, I was, David Schwimmer, remember him from Friends? David Schwimmer, he's a friend of mine. So I was in one of his projects, and then I ended up doing an episode with Eric Stoltz on Glee. He directed episode of Glee.
Oh, cool.
So, so I love when I watched Glee, and I see my name on that episode in Glee. I'm like,
Once it leaves
Amazon Prime, nobody else is doing that. And I really think that should be something that, you know, Tubi does and Roku and IMDb. I really think that's such a plus feature. So, but let's talk about Bennett's song, A Holiday Song, Holiday. Love Tony Bennett. What is that? Is that a movie or what is it?
Yeah, it's two movies. So we made Bennett's song a few years ago. And it was a passion project for my producing partner, Nancy Oswine, because she is an adopted mother. So she's adopted a son from Guatemala and a daughter from China. And she really wanted to paint the picture that, you know, what you think stereotypically is a family isn't necessarily a family. And then we both of us love kids and have kids. So we talked about how fun it would be to see two people with a lot of kids falling in love and trying to figure out how to make a family with a lot of kids because it becomes very clumsy. So this story with Bennett Song, it's actually two last names. It's Bennett and Song. And it's two characters that meet and fall in love. and they both have seven children. And neither one of them know that when they first meet, because my character, Cole Bennett, takes his daughter in to the dentist and kind of falls in love with the dentist. She knows I have one daughter. I don't know if she has any kids at all. And because both of the characters haven't really had that spark in a while, my character is a widower, hers is midlife crisis, divorce almost. So both of them, I think, are enjoying the moment until they realize that at some point, I have to say I have seven kids. And then they realize we have both have seven kids.
Oh, my God, it's Brady Bunch explosion. 14 kids.
It is.
Wow.
It is. Everybody told me, oh, my God, don't direct kids and don't direct animals. I broke all those things when I made that movie. But I loved it. Loved it.
Is it a Christmas movie or?
Bennett's Song Holiday is a Christmas movie. Yes, it is.
Stop it. I am obsessed with Christmas movies. Oh, my God. I'm a producer on one called Hashtag Blessed, and it was the thrill of my life. Now I'm looking for my next Christmas movie. I want to be a producer. I'm like, bring it on. Oh, I love it. When did we see that?
Yeah, it's on Vudu right now. And I know that they got network sales with Super Channel on the first one. And I think Fuse picked it up as well. So if you don't have Vudu, it's definitely on those. So you can find it in a few different places. But I know Vision, my distributor for those films, is working hard trying to get them through the doors at either Netflix or HBO or something like that. Because it is, they're both such feel-good movie. They have both fantastic diversity.
Hallmark, that's the place you want your film if it's Christmas. Hallmark or Lifetime.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, the next, you got to do another Christmas movie, and I want to I'll be an extra hanging out by the trash can. I just want to be a Christmas movie. I might have to give you a couple thousand dollars. I don't know. It might have to be an but I'm excited. I'm going to look that up. Make sure you send me the link, because I don't have it either, though. Is it available to watch on IMDb TV or even YouTube, maybe?
I think it is a VOD on YouTube, and it's a VOD on Vudu. I am not sure if it is on IMDb TV or Amazon. I think that it got taken off of those because it was on Fuse and Super Channel.
Oh, Harley.
They're exclusive.
You're working on so many projects. I swear, I got to get in these questions because they tie right into what you're talking about. Let's take a couple questions that we got from... Okay, this will be perfect with what you're just talking about. Todd from Pacific Palisades says, hey, Harley, what advice do you have for new producers to make sure the film project stays on time and on or under budget? Todd, Pacific Palisades. There you go, Harley.
Great question, Todd. I think, for me at least, is to have adequate pre-production time. I see some people, they throw together pre-production, they do 2 weeks or a month, and then things kind of fall apart because they miss things. And that's where I think I'm a big fan of preparation in general. So, you know, I do a minimum of 2 months of pre-production, meaning that after you're funded, my casting takes a while, my locations takes a while. I wasn't as picky with locations in the beginning of my career, not realizing how much of a character a location can be, that I've taken that much more serious now. And spending the extra time often can really help, especially when you're going to make a film with a budget. And sometimes you have to prioritize your star names, because when they come in, they pretty much have to film full days. So you maximize your time with them. but sometimes that really upsets the schedule as far as, hopping from location to location. So if you haven't managed that process well, you will immediately start backing up and you'll end up, having troubles with the budget. And so far we've made 10 feature films and a TV series. We have gone over budget zero times.
Wow. That's incredible. Well, you know, that was sort of the next question from Paul. This is interesting. Paul from St. Paul, Minnesota. Yeah, isn't that cute? I think this is, you kind of answered this, didn't you? He said, hey, Harley, as a film or TV producer, things can quickly spiral out of control. I never have enough money to get any of my projects completed. So asking you, financially speaking, how do you prioritize your spending when you're on a tight budget or get as close to your vision as possible? I just can't complete a project. I have no money.
Oh, I feel so bad for Paul.
Oh, so what would I have, like, some
it,
name?
It is.
Talent.
You do.
Budget. They'll just take it all.
Yeah, I think you got to be smart, though, because without them, you kind of drown. When you look at distribution, there's a tier one, a tier two, and a tier three, kind of. So the tier one is the stuff that ends up in theaters, or the top end of the stuff that's plugged and pushed by the outlets themselves. And that's like placement. So if you get that, then you're golden, because they will funnel enough people in your direction that you're going to have enough people watching your show for it to be a success. But we in the indie world often don't have that, which means we have to be super careful with our spending. And I think production value is obviously super important when it comes to making a film. But I would not outdo the production value to the story. If you have to kind of cut down the story and move stuff around and you lose that storyline, then to me, it's not worth it. And you know, for me, especially as a foreign filmmaker, being Swedish originally and moving here, I'm used to seeing things on a lower budget scale. I don't always need the explosions and the shock and awe, so to speak. So I think really tinkering with your story and making sure that the journey for the viewers is amazing. And then obviously, if you're not good at budgeting, maybe find somebody in your circle who is, so that way you can stick to it. Because it's just like with anything else in life, if you run out of money and you can't pay your mortgage, the same things happen. If it's your phone bill, then your phone gets shut off or whatever it may be. In the film world, you should just look at it exactly the same way. You should have a plan for exactly how many shooting days you have. You should have daily rates for every single employee that you have, whether they're on cast or crew. And then that should not really move. We've been able to do this even with crazy things happening. I mean, we shot Tale of Tales while COVID was happening, and that was a giant challenge. And then to stay under budget was an even bigger challenge. But it requires planning and organization. Just like if you were going to open up a Starbucks or whatever other business that you were going to go after, it's just that. It's just planning and organization. And I think sometimes when we're artistic in nature, it's a hard place for us to also be our own CFO. But either you have to get the education or you have to delegate that to somebody who can hold you to it.
Absolutely. What exciting. Now, obviously, you're going to be really busy. I assume you're shooting season two of Tale of Tales, right?
Not yet. We are writing.
Oh, you're writing still. Writing.
Yeah.
The money. Are you? A lot of people were jumping on the what was that called when everyone was getting money from those websites? What was that called? Crowdfunding.
But I've never done that successfully.
Yeah. How do you recommend that beginning filmmakers go about get, because people just don't want to give anything anymore because they know, yeah, you know, they're going to lose it. So what do you suggest to aspiring filmmakers to get money, to get a little independent project done now, since you can't do crowdfunding?
I think don't bite off more than you can chew is probably the first thing. So instead of saying, I'm going to make a feature. No. You're not ready. You don't have the money. You don't even know if you have the stamina for it. Features break people's backs all the time. So start with a short film. See if you can make a short film that's compelling enough that you can get into some festivals, maybe even touch on some of the bigger festivals and get some accolades. And then just that'll check how well you can plan and organize as well. Can you do a proper shooting schedule? You learn all those things. And the ideal running time for short films is, you know, 5 to 12 minutes. So most of those can be shot over a weekend. So exactly. You don't have to break the bank for one.
And
so
it's a great place to start. Harley, with technology, you can shoot it on your phone, for God's sakes. You know, you got a good iPhone, you can shoot it if you're creative. I see all kinds of stuff being shot. I shot a music video with 3 iPhones for $50, and it's fantastic. Yeah. And people are like, that's like MTV quality. And it's all about, you know, being creative and hanging out with creative people and just kind of having fun, you know. Don't make promises ever that you can't keep. That's my secret.
Exactly. And that will wreck your relationships too.
Absolutely.
The people that are investing or working with you, the minute that you can't deliver, they're going to start leaving. So you don't want to do that. You want to be as truthful as you can with your entire team at all times. I couldn't tell you how many times somebody's advertising that they're doing a Netflix movie and a this and a that. And they just don't know. They don't even know what they don't know.
Yeah. So just
be honest with people.
Absolutely, Harley. But I tell you, I'm sorry that we have to go because you are you are a fjord of information. Is that it, right? FJORD, a fjord? I hope that's right.
Yes, that is very correct. I love it.
A fjord. I want to have you back on again because I wanted to talk about your life in Sweden and what you did there and how you came here to make films. There's just so much to cover, but we're already
We didn't even get to talk any martial arts, and I know we were both excited about that.
Because I swear, I know you started as a martial artist with judo at age 7, and now you're a 5th-degree black belt. My God, that's incredible. Yeah. You should be so proud of yourself. You're still practicing, right?
I am not actively practicing. It's a very difficult art to do as an actor because you end up with marks almost all the time. I tried to keep up with no-gi grappling, but even that was pretty tricky. So I am not. I still do commentary for fights on UFC Fight Pass. So I still do that.
Well, but, we gotta get I don't you coach my fighters anymore. We're gonna get you on Cobra Kai. I got a couple friends that work on that project. So
that would be fun. That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, even if it was just where you go, we're going to get you on Cobra Kai. So, Pete, private message me. We'll meet, hook up, and I'm going to see if I can beg someone to get on there, right? And we got so much to talk about. Let's stay in touch via our social media, please. I sent you a Facebook request, and let's promote each other's stuff because that's what it's all about in this business. You cannot get anywhere without promoting people. So I would say,
take the village.
Obviously, Harley Wallen is an amazing person. Please go to his social media sites, Harley Wallen on Facebook, HARLEYWALLEN, Instagram at the Harley Wallen, and Twitter, Harley the Swede. That's my favorite. And check it out. Harley the Swede. I like that. That sounds like a porn movie. That could actually be one of your characters in your Tale of Tales, right?
It's my fighter name.
It
was my fighter name. So I just stuck around. That was actually, my handles were all Harley the Swede up until I started moving further into acting and this was taking off. Then I started making the split because I felt like you're gonna search for Harley the Swede and you're gonna get my fights and my judo tournaments and so that was like, no, that's not gonna work.
Yeah, that's right. Keep it consistent. All right.
I'm trying.
We had Harley Wallen. We love and adore you, Harley Wallen. And let's go watch his show, Tale of Tales, right now. It's Sunday. It's waiting. It's waiting on Tubi. Or you can go watch it. I don't know if it's the full one, but on YouTube you can go watch it if you don't have Tubi. But why not just download Tubi? It's free. And you get to watch Tale of Tales. Right, Harley?
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I didn't even realize this. 5 of my films are on Tubi as well. So you have 5 more reasons.
Oh, Ash and Bone. Tubi was that one free. Of them? Ash and Bone was one of them?
No, that one is not out yet. We just signed that one. Deadline just reported yesterday. We signed with Desktop Entertainment, and which is a subsidiary of BMG. Big distributor, so hopefully we're looking at a limited theatrical in March for that one.
Well, you know what? You're coming back on the show to promote that, right, Harley?
For sure. For sure.
Oh, my God. That's exciting. Well,
and
the next
you have to come to the premiere.
Oh, my God. Well, make sure you send me an invitation, will you?
For sure.
Okay. Well, you're going to come on, you're going to promote it on my radio show, and then we're going to go to the premiere, and we'll do a live broadcast from the premiere. All right, Harley Wallen. Say goodbye to your fans.
Goodbye, everybody, and thank you so much, Priscilla. You rock. You have so much awesome energy. I love it.
You too. Well, Harley the Swede, I love your energy too. And we'll see everybody next week. Oh, actually not. We'll see everyone in December because I'm going to be gobbling on a turkey leg from now until December. So we'll see you in December. Okay, everyone. See you soon. Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona right here on LA Talk Radio.